Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Sober Indian Saturday Night Live. My name is Karen, and tonight we have Stephanie LeBlanc. She's going to be sharing her story with us. Hi, Stephanie. How are you doing?
I'm doing good, Karen. Thanks for having me.
You're very welcome. I wanted to start the show by you telling us a little bit about yourself.
All right. I am a mother of three and a grandmother of one. I live currently in Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan, originally from born and raised in California near Santa Cruz. And I'll get into that a little bit, you know, my story. But I moved, left California when I was 24 and kind of moved around the country a little bit before I settled back here, and my family's from the UP, five generations, born and raised, born and died in the UP, so that's kind of what brought me up here, and we'll talk a little bit about that as I go in with my story.
Wow, well, it sounds really interesting, and first-time grandma, I think that's great.
Yeah, that's definitely new, and my grandbaby's out in California, so with all the COVID and everything going on, that has been very difficult to have a brand-new baby that I can't get my paws on.
Yeah, I understand. I have three grandbabies of my own, so I definitely understand where you're coming from with that. I wanted to kind of go ahead and get into your story, if you're okay with that. Just share what you feel comfortable with tonight, and we're go ahead and take the floor and start talking about it, if you like.
All right. Well, I always like to start with, you know, my name is Stephanie. I'm an alcoholic and an addict. By the grace of God, I've been sober just a little over 6 years. I got sober on September 21st, 2014, at 36 years old. So it was quite an experience, sobriety. I didn't really know I needed it, you know. I think we kind of all go through that a little bit, but it really came to a head for me, you know, that year. A lot of different things going on, a lot of struggles. And really, you know, I know a lot of people say it is by the grace of God. And for me, that's exactly what happened. I've always been really, you know, into nature. I've always enjoyed being outside. I've always take pleasure in the beautiful things, mountains, rivers, oceans, that sort of thing. And I was driving home one night from work, and there was this probably the most beautiful sunset I think I've ever seen. It was winter. I was driving across the road of fields of ice, you know, and it was just beautiful. And as I was driving, I was so caught up in my head, so caught up of, you know, gosh, I'm not going to have enough of this. I'm not going to have enough pills. I'm not going to have you know, enough of what I needed, what I thought I needed to get through the next day. And I was so caught up thinking about that, that I missed what God laid out in front of me, and that was that sunset. And I kind of realized it at that moment. You know, I think that the Creator was kind of trying to speak to me at that moment, saying, look at this, but you can't see. You know, and it seemed like after that moment, you know, it was only about a week later when I finally decided that I needed to go to treatment. And I think it was at that moment that I started to begin to realize that I didn't know how to live life, you know. It started out for me in California. I was born and raised out there. My parents are from the UP, you know, diehard UPers. We are lots of family, lots of generations born and raised in the UP. And back in the 70s, you know, my parents got in the bus and went out to San Francisco, I guess, for lack of a better way to put it. You know, I'm surprised my name isn't Moonbeam. But so I grew up out there, Growing up in California was quite an experience. You know, being out there and the lifestyle, I come from, you know, like many of us, it's not the reason why, but came from, you know, partiers. Everybody partied. My parents were, for lack of a better word, hippies, and that's what everybody did, you know, in the 70s and 80s out in California. So it was very normal. You know, partying and stuff was very normal. It's what people did. So I just kind of took along with it. And, you know, growing up out there, it's a fast-paced life. Life in the fast lane, like they say, right? You know, so it was a lot of time being exposed to some pretty heavy things, you know. A lot of different, you know, experiences that were both good and some very horrible. But I guess, like anybody else, you know, that's just what we did. And we partied, we did what we needed to do to just be, you know. And I think it was probably when I was about 14 years old that it really came to me to understand that, you know, that lifestyle wasn't going to get me anywhere. Did I stop? No. I ended up not getting sober until I was 36 years old. But, you know, with a history of not being able to be protected by, you know, family and things like that, there was sexual abuse and, you know, just I lost my mom, too, when I was 14. And a lot of stuff changed at that moment, you know. And a lot of it, too, is, you know, I like to say that I think the number one killer in my family was alcohol. And it's true because it took her just recently. It took my brother and almost took me, too. But, you know, going back to that day where I felt the Creator was finally telling me that you needed to learn how to live a different life. And I listened for the first time, right? Because I think us as alcoholics and addicts, like, go ahead and try to tell us something. It just, that just doesn't happen very well, you know. Ego and all of that ran rampant for me and was just kind of the way that I was taught. So, you know, growing up, like I said, in California, quite an experience. I will share one kind of cool thing that, you know, back in 1989 when they had the big Loma Prieta earthquake, it seemed like growing up in California is not like, you know, growing up kind of, I noticed the Midwest is very different, that we didn't know each other, you know, everybody really kept to themselves. The neighborhoods were, you know, you all lived real close together, but nobody knew each other. So it was funny when that, we had the big Loma Prieta and that big earthquake in 89, and everybody had to, like, finally come out, you know, out of their houses. There was no electricity, there was no water or anything for a few weeks, and you couldn't really stay inside your houses either because you didn't know if they were going to fall down or not. So it was kind of neat that finally everybody started coming out of their dwellings and we got to know the neighbors. And, you know, I remember us as kids, everybody partying out on their lawns, and, you know, as young as 12 or 13, we were running and drinking and having a good old time with everybody. So, you know, it starts out, I know, at least really young. And as I go along, I have children now that are at that age where they're starting to, you know, get curious and think about those type of things too. And by the grace of God, I know that a lot of us, you know, sometimes will look back and it's like, you know, what is sobriety? And a lot of times for me, it has to do with I'm available, you know, I'm available today for my children where I wasn't for a long time. You know, I love the promises too, because people ask sometimes, you know, I have a lot of people that are, you know, friends that aren't sober, you know, and I'll talk about certain things and they say, you know, how can you say that? How can you talk about sexual abuse that happened to you? Or how can you talk about, you know, the shitty things that you did, and how can you talk about that? And I think about the promises. I think about what really happens when we work the steps, you know, those promises that come true, that we will not regret the past nor wish to close the door on it. And I want to say that that, for me, that one promise in itself has been freeing more than anything else, you know, because I can today stand in what I've been through. I can today stand for who I am. I can tell you who I am today, where if you would have asked me, you know, 7 or 8 years ago, I would have looked at you like a deer in the headlights. You know, who are you today? And, you know, today I can look in the mirror and I can tell myself that I am a child of God. I believe in the Christian God. I believe in Gajem Nado. I believe in Buddha. I believe in all of it, you know. I believe in the collective universe. So my sponsor told me when I started telling her, as I was going through and looking for that, she's like, just call yourself spiritual. Don't go into all the different details, you know. Just call yourself a spiritual mm-hmm. person. And by the grace of this program of Alcoholics Anonymous, it has shown me that I am a spiritual person, that I am a child of God, you know, and I am a mother. I'm a grandmother. I'm a helper in my community as much as I can, you know. Any person I know in my groups and around this area, anybody that needs it, I'm willing, you know. And I think that's a big thing, too, is just becoming willing to work the steps. You know, the steps for me were really simple, yet hard. You know, we have to go through those things. But my sponsor explained it to me in a very simple way, and a lot of it has to do with acceptance, right? So in the very beginning, we accept ourselves as alcoholics and addicts. You know, that's number one. That's what we first do. And the second part of it is really accepting God, bringing God into our lives and accepting that help that the Creator has to give to us if we're willing. Another part of it as we go along is then accepting ourselves. And again, going back to God and asking others, people in the program, and God to accept us as we are. And then, you know, we have to go back again through the process and accept the things that we did, you know, make amends to the things that we need to and accept the things that we did. And then towards the end, we have to share, you know, we got to share our experience, our strength and hope with each other, that we may solve our common problems and help each other through it. Because I know without my group, without my sponsor, without my sponsees, that I could have never been to where I am today. You know, after I had my first child, I had my daughter when I was 20 years old out in California. And it was actually, you know, it was real fun, I want to say, at that time. I've traveled a lot, and I've been to a lot of places, and I guess the only way I can explain why I did all of that was because I was always searching for who I thought I wanted to be or who I was, you know, always feeling empty inside and keep searching for all of it. So, some of it was fun, but a lot of it was really confusing. You know, when I was in my 20s, I had met a surfer boy, and we traveled up the coast of California, and he was a professional surfer, and we went and got to go to all the surfing competitions and, you know, all of that kind of stuff. And it was a real good time. There was, you know, always a lot of substances involved throughout my whole life. And, you know, always felt if I wasn't drinking or I wasn't using or I wasn't a part of, you know, that I didn't belong there. And I think, you know, we all use and we all drink and stuff for different reasons. But I think for me personally, it was being a part of. I never felt all the way whole inside, so I always had to be validated and accepted from the people I was around. And to do that was to get high or drunk with everybody, right, and party. That's kind of how it went. But so when my daughter was, about 4 or 5 years old, again, just knowing that everything wasn't good, you know, I could never be settled, I could never be still, and did geographicals, you know, left California because I thought that something better was going to be for me in a different place, and packed up my whole four-year-old and went to Arizona, and did about a year in Arizona thinking that it was going to be different. But it's so funny that when we have that and we are going through what we're going through, we're going to find the same thing. You know, I liked how I heard somebody say before that you're going to attract the people that are like you, you know, and I was sick. I was sick for a long time, so I attracted those type of people. And I made it for about a year in California or in Arizona, and did another geographical. This time I was going to run home. You know, by this time, my whole family, my mother, my father, and everybody had come back to Michigan. So I made a geographical, and I came back to Michigan because I needed the support. And honestly, it was hard to work, be a mom, and party at the same time. That's really what it was, you know. And I came back to Michigan, spent some time. Which was quite an experience too, because here we go, I'm back in a new city, I got a fresh start, and what happened? The same thing over and over again. I think growing up, you know, like I said about that external validation that I was always seeking, was some of the times it was also filled with relationships, you know, because not only did I have that for drugs and alcohol, that need for it, but I also had it for relationships. You know, I only felt good if I was needed. And when I got here, when I got back to Michigan, it was like the same cycle. I think we, you know, at least for me, I repeated it over and over again. You know, meet somebody, have fun, do the partying, not like the situation, and then run from it. That seemed to be the pattern that was always there, you know. And then I had a really bad picker. My grandma told me that one time. She says, honey, you can't pick men worth a nothing. She goes, I'm going to pick one for you. So this is my, you know, 70-some-year-old grandma, and she introduced me to who I then ended up marrying. And my husband, my now ex-husband, was born and raised up here in the UP, and we moved up here and ended up having two more children. Again, you know, another geographical, but the same thing always followed, partying. And this time it became very different, you know. It wasn't a fun thing anymore. Then it was me being a mom and trying to maintain a household for my kids and everything, and still continue to use and drink and everything else. And I think about all the struggles of those years, and I think, you know, a lot of the things too, and I know that this happens with a lot of people who are addicted, is, you know, we spent so much time, I know at least for me, you know, I spent so much time trying to be okay that I didn't really give the things that my kids needed. I didn't give them what they needed. You know, I was always okay to be able to make sure they had something to eat. I was always okay to make sure they had clean clothes and got up in the morning to go to school, but that was it, you know. And I'm starting to realize now, since I got sober and since I've looked at the patterns that I've had in my life, that necessarily wasn't enough. you know. But like I say, and like all that we really can do is make it better. You know, I liked what somebody said to once about living amends, you know, that now at least I can be present for my kids. You know, it's not always easy, but I'm here and I'm with it mentally, you know, because of this program. And the journey of the steps, for sure, taking the steps, going through it with a sponsor, somebody who had been in the program since the dinosaur age, you know, really, really helped to shape everything and to turn me into a halfway, I don't want to say that everything's perfect, but it made me capable, you know, made me capable of being present. It made me capable of understanding myself and the world around me a little bit better. You know, when I finally decided that I needed help, and because that was another thing that was really hard, you know. Always a very strong, independent woman, I didn't need help, you know. So to finally be given the gift enough of desperation to finally say, hey, listen, I don't know what I'm doing and I can't do this on my own, finally led me into, you know, into treatment. And when I got into treatment, I realized real quickly that I didn't know how to live life. You know, I know that I was loved as a child, and it's kind of the same cycle I repeated, you know, with my children, that I was loved, I was given a roof over my head, I wasn't necessarily protected enough, you know. I wasn't really given certain things that I think every child needs, you know, protection, security, guidance, those types of things, right? But in turn, I ended up noticing that I was repeating the same cycle that was given to me. And I have to say that going through the steps, working with my sponsor and continuing the sobriety, you know, continuing this road, that it's really helped me to break some of the cycles I know that have been in my family for generations. It's really an amazing gift, and I know a lot of it is really based on my spiritual condition, you know, spending the time every day, having that connection with my higher power, and being able to give back, you know, to people in need, too, that are going through the same thing, going through, you know, struggles in life, going through certain things, but it's really a gift and helps me to continue to help others. You know, that's a big part of our program, and that's a big part of what we do. I don't like speaking. I don't really. And, you know, it's always kind of been a little bit of a challenge for me, but I remember my sponsor telling me early on that if you're asked to speak, you do it, because God speaks through us. And if you're asked to speak, that's God saying that somebody needs to hear your message. So just stare and say what's in your heart, you know, and that's really what I try to do. Again, you know, even some of the groups that I've been in, you know, and particularly on Sober Indians and stuff, a lot of times, you know, it really gives me something to be inspired about, you know, knowing too that other people go through what we go through every day, that we're not alone in the journey is really important. And a lot of times, you know, it's just having a reason to pray too, you know. I see stories on there. I see what people are going through. I see the struggles that they're going through. And I pray. And I pray for them, and I pray for the healing of, you know, our world really are people in recovery, and that in turn helps me. You know, I like what they always say in the program too, that, you know, somebody, why are you sponsoring or why are you doing what you're doing? Well, it's not only for that other person, you know, but it's for me too, because it is a we thing, you know. It's a we program. None of us can get through this on our own. if you do, that's awesome. But whew, I know I couldn't for sure at all. So, other than that, you know, life is real good today. It's not perfect. You know, there's still daily struggles and things like that, but I know that I'm present. I know that I have a higher power behind me that's helping me. I know I have a big support group of other people in recovery that are there. You know, just recently, my marriage ended after 15 years, and it was tough. It was really a hard thing, you know, and a lot of it had to do with, you know, sometimes I'm still baffled by it for sure, but a lot of it had to do with growing apart. When we're in recovery, you know, we change. We're not the same people that we were when we started the journey, and it's a constant, you know, evolution process of becoming better and different people, you know. I know at least for me, the type of person I was wasn't working. It wasn't working very well for me, and I evolved. I changed, and unfortunately, you know, my partner didn't change with me. And that's okay. That's all right, you know, but it was rough. And the one thing I knew is that I didn't have to drink or use over it, and I could reach out to the people in recovery, you know, those people that are your friends, not because of what you got, not because of what you can give them, but just because they are, you know. I know for sure when I was partying, if I would have called upon some people back then, you know, to help me move or help me do something, it wouldn't go over very well unless there was something else involved. But going through this divorce, I had to uproot everything and completely start fresh again. And I did reach out to the people in my program, and we were there for each other, you know. We were there for each other without anything expected in return. And that, I want to say too that, oh gosh, thank you to the Creator for letting me be an alcoholic, because going through the program and changing, I would have never done it either, you know. I would have never helped out people like I do now, you know. I know that a lot of us, and me personally, struggle with the I, you know, me. It's about me and everything else. So as you go through it and as you become, you know, at least for me, as I became a sober person, it wasn't about that anymore. It was about not only what I could do for myself, but what I could do for everybody else, you know, to make things better for others. And because that's really in my recovery where I found joy. You know, there's a real big difference too between happiness and joy. And, you know, sure, I can be happy because I got a paycheck, or I could be happy because, you know, I had a good day, but the joy is something that's totally just different, at least for me. You know, the joy is seeing somebody who was struggling and you say some words to them, or you have some kind of interaction between them that sets them off on a different trajectory in life, that you watch them grow and you watch them succeed and you watch them do all these things, and it just is joyful. You know, that to me is pure joy. And to be present in life today and to appreciate the small things that happen, to see, you know, my kid make a basket, you know, to see my grandson bop his mom in the head with a toy, or, you know, things like that, is now what I call joy. You know, it's a pure sense of joy. It's not for anything obtainable. It's not for anything tangible, but it's for those things that I know are given to me by God. And that brings joy to me for sure. So I want to say, you know, to anybody that's out there that is struggling with certain things, is really spend the time. And if you can, I know I can't say what's going to work for anybody, but really what did work for me was spending the time not only with other people in recovery, you know, people with true recovery, people that have it. You can tell when you look at somebody, you can tell what they got. You know, you can tell that they have that joy in them. You can tell that they have that energy that's right. I mean, at least for me, that's how it was. You know, they say stick with the winners. Well, you can tell. Sit back and watch a little bit, and you'll be able to see it because it's there. And, you know, spending that time with the people in recovery, spending the time with your higher power, really being able to live and let go of things that they talk about in the program, do the readings, you know, but gosh, the literature that's out there is amazing. Listening to other people's stories, you know, of trials and tribulations and all the things that we go through as addicts and alcoholics, you know, listening to those things and relating to what others are going through. Because I think even in this world now that we're so much losing the connection with one another that we feel so alone. And it's so funny that your brothers and sisters are searching for that same thing. And if we could really find that in each other, you know, we're so much stronger together than we are apart. And that's really, at least for me, what I feel is what the Creator wants for us, you know, is to have that connection with Him and with each other. And those are just a few things that I've realized on this journey that help me every day, help me to just be a sober person, a person in recovery, a proud person in recovery. And with that, I guess I want to close and say, you know, thank you guys all for being there. Thank you all for listening. I hope if there's just one person out there that you have a fabulous, you know, evening, and carry the message for sure.
Well, I want to say thank you for coming on and sharing your story. That was an amazing story, and you're a fantastic speaker. I wanted to tell everybody also to, oh, you're very welcome, very, very welcome. Also, I want to tell everybody to tune in on next Wednesday, and we'll have another show coming. So we will see you all then. And, again, thank you for coming on. That was an absolutely amazing and beautiful story.
Thank you. Thank you. Like I said, it's not always easy, but and I really don't like to speak at all. But I sit here and I think just if there's one person that can relate and one person that takes anything that I said, then it's worth it. It's all worth it.
Absolutely. Well, I wish you a great night, and everybody else a great night, please.
Hey, thank you.
You're welcome. You have a good evening. Thanks for coming on again.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.